Hello, and welcome to a special edition of the Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your usual host, Clarence Moy, and today I'm bringing you my interview with award-winning star of Spike Lee's acclaimed Vietnam War drama, Da Five Bloods. Now, when the film premiered back in June, Lindo's searing performance immediately started a heated awards conversation online. And, of course, flash forward to the year-end and the award season, and Lindo has already received several mentions as Best Actor from critics groups, including the prestigious New York Film Critics Circle. So here on this podcast, Delroy Lindo talks to me about the impact of these year-end critics awards on him and about working in the storied ensemble of Lee's Da Five Bloods. Finally, he dives into the challenges of performing that outstanding direct-to-the-camera monologue that we all love so very much. So sit back and enjoy my podcast interview with Da Five Bloods' Delroy Lindo, and watch for more podcast interviews from Awards Daily as we head into the heat of awards season.
Hi, Delroy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Where are you? Where are you on the planet, sir?
I'm in North Carolina on the East Coast.
Oh, wow. Where in North Carolina are you?
Raleigh.
Okay. I worked
middle of the state.
I worked many years ago in Chapel Hill.
Oh, yes.
I love that part of the country.
It's beautiful. My wife went to Chapel Hill for college, went to UNC.
Yeah.
All right. Well, getting started. So you've obviously received several critics groups mentions over the past couple of weeks for your extraordinary performance in Da Five Bloods. What does that recognition mean to you?
The short answer is it's affirming. Yeah. Not that I would not have been, had I not received those, I wouldn't have been unaffirmed, but the fact that it's gotten the recognition is very rewarding and affirming.
That's excellent. So looking at Da Five Bloods, obviously it's an ensemble piece. There are so many very talented actors right up there with you, and of course you're under Spike. What was that whole experience building that camaraderie like for you as an actor?
It was phenomenal. And what made it phenomenal was the fact that it was effortless and organic. None of us ever said to ourselves or amongst ourselves, you know, we need to do X, Y, and Z so we can bond. It just happened. We all stayed in the same hotel in Chiang Mai. And in Vietnam, and we would just hang out. You know, we would hang out on the weekends in the restaurant, eating together, talking. We had some phenomenal conversations, some phenomenal conversations as human beings, as men, as Black men. We would just discuss a whole range of things. And in that process of sharing, communing together, that's where the bond was formed. And we then just took those relationships, those connections into the work that we were doing for the film, in service of the film.
Absolutely. And that chemistry between all of you is absolutely there on screen. So it definitely paid off for sure.
Thank you.
When you received the script and you found out that you were playing a right-wing, very conservative, Trump-loving, MAGA Black man, how did you react to that?
WTF, Spike. WTF, brah. Come on now. And I asked Spike, I remember saying, Spike, man, I got, you know, at that point, my son was 17 years old, I guess. Man, I got a 17-year-old son. I don't want to have to explain that to him. Can we change this? Can we make Paul, you know, an arch conservative without being, you know, a Trumpian, for God's sake? And he thought about it for a few days and let me know he really needed Paul to be a Trumpian. And then I just was able to come get to grips with that aspect of who this man is. And once I did that, I was fine. Mm-hmm.
So when you start to imagine reading the words, when you start to imagine, Paul's background as an arch conservative, as a lover of Donald Trump, Did that change things for you? Did that give you a different perspective?
Well, look, I never, Paul, I don't think of myself as an arts conservative.
Right.
I think of myself, or as a, how to say, I don't think of myself as a conservative. I think of myself as somebody who's experienced a lot of loss, deep-seated loss, a lot of violation, all of which has culminated in this profound disconnection, disaffection, disassociation from self, disassociation, disconnection from society. Inside my family, I've lost my wife in childbirth. I have this son that I am estranged from, which is another form of loss, the loss of my wife, the loss of my son. All of those things culminating in feeling like I need a win. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I need a win, y'all. What the fuck?
Right.
And here comes this man who says, I can give you a win. Not only can I give you a win, I can give you the kind of win you ain't never seen before. I can make this better. Trust me. I got the goods, and I've got the people who can deliver the goods. I can make your life better. So hell yeah, you get my vote. Hell yeah.
Go ahead.
No, that's the short version of how and why I cast that vote in 2016.
Right. One of the,
I will say one other thing. That has nothing to do with being a conservative or a liberal. It has to do with survival and enhancement of my life.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And seeing me. Because I haven't been seen. If you knew about the extent to which I was reviled when I came home from Nam after having volunteered for 3 tours for this country that I love. 3 times I volunteered. I wasn't drafted. I volunteered. And what I experienced when I came home, I haven't been seen. This rejection, this, you know, being kicked to the curb. And this man says, pick yourself up. Come on over here. I'm going to make this better. Finally, I'm giving you a win. That's what the vote was about.
So when you get to, obviously my favorite scene, the scene that just completely blew me away, is that extended monologue there in the end of the film, which is absolutely brilliant. Tell me about the mechanics and the getting in that state of you looking directly in the camera, which, you know, actors are often told never to do, and delivering that monologue straight on as if it was even a piece of theater.
Right. The mechanics were that I had to learn the words, because I couldn't, as I would do in the theater, organically, give birth to it in the context of a scene. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that latitude because this is film. So I had to learn the words, commit the words to memory. Once I'm having a sense of what those words mean to me, I can then start investing emotionally in why the words mean to me what they mean. And then, excuse me. So that's prep, that's preparation. And then I set about inside the work itself, infusing I didn't want to be struggling for the words, right?
Right.
So I had to learn those words so that I could do it so that I could recite them in my sleep. In terms of infusing those words with the emotional life that was required, that was another process. And in marrying the two for the camera, was a process of investment and investment and investment. And I want to believe that I was investing in every take that we did, And the fact that Spike didn't say anything, didn't give me any adjustments other than keep moving. I need you to just keep moving. Mm-hmm. Let me know that I was hopefully onto something in terms of how I was feeling.
Right.
How my instrument was feeling in service of the story. And there was a clarity and a strength because I'm not going to say I was thinking this at the time, but the clarity and the strength came from my awareness, my knowledge that I'm speaking very, very deeply from my truth. And because I'm speaking really deeply from my truth, there's power there, there's strength there, there's righteousness there. So I want to believe that all of those things were at play as I was doing the multiple takes that we did. And technically, the fact that we did that Spike allowed multiple takes was also very affirming because it wasn't, and I've said this to various of your colleagues, it wasn't, let's do it again because we didn't get something.
Right.
Let's do it again to see what else is there.
Right. Explore different avenues.
Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant. That's brilliant. Well, I think those are all of the questions I have for you today. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for the performance and best of luck to you in the season ahead and stay safe, of course.
Thank you so much. And likewise, you stay safe also. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Take care.